This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That win get you excited, Lakers fans? You look at the schedule. You put that down, not just in pencil. You put it in pen. You're going to lose that game. No LeBron, no AD, and KD is back, and they got Kyrie. By the way, not to mention, like, forget about LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. How about, you know, we were talking to Kendrick Perkins earlier today on this show. What, about not even an hour ago? How about Nick Claxton? How about DeAndre Jordan, who doesn't even get to play? How about Joe Harris, who might be the best shooter in the NBA this side of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson when he's healthy? Got a lot of guys. Jeff Green's used for all that, but they got Kyrie and KD. He ain't got LeBron or AD. And you won? That's impressive. Now look, Kyrie got tossed, but so did Schroeder. And Schroeder, you know, was lighting it up just as Kyrie was. That's an impressive win. Talen Horton-Tucker got some of everything. Can score, can shoot, can post up, can pass, has real court vision. Caruso is a real rotation piece. So is KCP. The only thing the Lakers are really missing now is a legit starting caliber two guard, you know? Like, Schroeder's a legit starting one. Andre Drummond's an above average starting five. LeBron and AD are both the best at their position in the NBA. And even though the Lakers don't have a two guard, really, like, KCP's not quite a starter. I mentioned Talen Horton-Tucker, but they have a lot of rotation guys who can go in there and you can, you know, they got a lot of twos and threes who can really play. And by the way, look, when Kyrie went out, the Nets fell apart, but that's a very impressive performance by the Lakers. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Folks got stuff to say about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, boy. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So did the Lakers make a statement? Yes, they did. And you know what it was? We can tread water until LeBron and AD get back. So all you got to do is tread water. You know, you want to stay around 500. You know what the Lakers are in the 11 games since LeBron went down? 5-6. 5-6. Boy, that's just right where they were. Would they rather be 6-5? Sure, they'd rather be 11-0. But they're 5-6. And don't worry about where they're seated, guys, because, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter remains that the Lakers could be the 10th seed. They ain't losing a playing game if LeBron and AD aren't both healthy, the Lakers have zero chance to win a championship this year. They both got to be healthy. But if they are, there's a 0% chance that they lose a play-in tournament. I mean, to the ninth seed, the eighth seed, the seventh seed. Get all the way out of here. Yeah, but then you're going to have to face a tougher opponent in the first round. So, going to have to face the toughest opponents anyway in the Western Conference. You're going to have to face some combination of the Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, Blazers, Mavericks. You're going to have to face at least two of those teams, probably three. Who cares? Lakers, if LeBron and AD are healthy, are the best team. And that was quite a win. Also, because you look at the schedule, and that's when that's going to be a loss. Nope, it's a win. Kyrie, meantime, for a guy who takes a lot of personal time away from the team, away from competition, and maybe he has his life priorities right. As a human being, he may be making the right choice, maybe. But we're not here to evaluate him as a human being. We're talking about his contribution to the Brooklyn Nets. Is that the right choice for the Nets? Now, I'm not so worried about continuity on that team because Harden, as their most important player, knows how to make that all work. KD's the best player. Kyrie's the most spectacular. Harden's the most important. Harden rolled out of bed. How many times do I have to say it? Showed up fat and out of shape, looking like a hot mess. Triple-double with 30 points on a nightly basis in wins. I mean, against the Western Conference. Ooh! He makes that team going. Without him, they lose to the Lakers, right? Even when the Lakers don't have LeBron and AD. So I'm not so worried about continuity. I think with Harden at the helm, running the show, and he has weapons like Kyrie and KD, and not to mention shooter like Joe Harris, et cetera, it's going to be too much. Kyrie, though, not only do people have an issue with him kind of not showing up for work too often, you know you're down James Harden. And they mentioned this on the broadcast, but you know you're playing without James Harden. You know your team needs you. At that moment, they were down. They weren't getting blown out. That happened after he left the game, but you know the team needs you. You know you've been teed up. You already got one. Why would you keep talking till they threw you out? You know, Kyrie Irving is more talented than Damian Lillard. If you just wanted to look at raw talent, he is more, like, they're both extremely talented. Kyrie got a little more. Who'd you rather have on your team? Who's in the MVP conversation? It's not just skills. It's knowing, it's having the wisdom to know how and when to deploy those skills. Like, there's a difference between talent and skill. Talent's your capacity to do something. What people call your God-given ability, right? Skill is how you harness it and how you acquire craft. Kyrie is both supernaturally talented and skilled. But then there's, you know, like greatness, how what level you're playing on. How do you deploy those skills in the service of your team winning? Kyrie is not as good at that as, say, James Harden, right? Even if he's more clutch. But then there's also, like, what kind of teammate and leader are you going to be? As I said, I don't know Kyrie's situation. He may be making the right choice as a human being, but we're not evaluating him as a human being. We're evaluating him as a basketball player right now. Damian Lillard is a guy I think most fans would take on their team before Kyrie. There's no reason Kyrie shouldn't be able to be an MVP, but he's not. Is he? You want Kyrie? Is he an MVP caliber player? That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jacob in Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. So I just want to say that the Packers deserve everything that they got when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and his contract situation and their fizzle out in the playoffs.
Okay, why? Why do they deserve it?
Well, they're notorious for draft and develop, but they develop for other teams. They rarely make flashes in free agency, especially the old regime, and they rarely keep those players that they develop. So I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for going for the contract that he did, and I have everything to say that – or I should say that the Packers deserve this situation.
This is all I'll say about the Packers, though. I agree with that in years past. I was highly critical of the Packers in years past. Like, every year, they were not in the top two or three favorites to win the Super Bowl, but in that next tier. They were top 6 to 8 favorites when you looked at the odds in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. Because of Aaron Rodgers. He's carrying the whole team. But now, they got rid of Mike McCarthy. They brought in LaFleur. Rodgers was a game manager year one with LaFleur and won 13 games in a playoff game. In year two, he was an MVP. Basically, I don't know, like, it should have been unanimous, right? He's the best player in the league last year. 48 TDs, 5 interceptions? What? Is that even real? And he was spectacular all year. Also, another 13-win season, get to the NFC Championship game and had a real chance to win it, right? So in years past, I would agree with you, but you look at the Packers now, where are they lacking exactly? Where are the Packers lacking? You don't like Kevin King? He's not as bad as he looked toward the end of the season, you know, like, but in the high-profile games, but okay, he got picked on. But they're bringing in help. They got the draft coming up. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, we're just talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about his hurt feelings or whatever else. I'm just saying 5 years ago you want to criticize the Packers, fine. But right now, Marcus, they believed in Jordan Love, obviously. They grabbed him. Now they have their succession plan, right? They don't have to do that anymore. They can use all their draft capital to improve the team. They got an offense. They got a defense. They got a coach. They win 13 games a year. They were in the NFC Championship game with a chance to win. Like, I understand criticizing the Packers a couple years ago, but right now, I don't know how many better situations would there be for Aaron Rodgers.
Honestly, that's why I was, you know, earlier today when we was talking, like, two things can be true. Max, I think the caveat is, man, we can look at this through two prisms. We can look at it as Green Bay, and me and you are in the same bank. Green Bay has done a good job. They've been successful. They hired a good coach, seemingly. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has a lot to do with this. They re-signed Aaron Jones. Devontae has
turned
out to be one of the top receivers. They got in the second. From a team perspective, they've done a good job with this roster from a team perspective. So that's no disagreement with you. My point is, and what we probably don't see eye to eye is, if there has been a conversation between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers has expressed these are the things we need to do from an offensive standpoint, and those are not being met, I understand him being disgruntled. Because very few times do you get a generational quarterback or a guy that we talk about being one of the top five ever from a talent perspective and what we've seen him do on the field. So
I think he was top one ever from talent until Mahomes came around.
Right.
I would say Rodgers is top two talent of all time.
Exactly. So you got to look at it as, is Aaron Rodgers trying to tell the Green Bay Packers, yeah, I know I'm Aaron Rodgers, but at times I'm going to lack, and do we have what we need to overcome that from a positional standpoint with other guys? Or Aaron Rodgers is saying, yo, I'm looking around the landscape of the league and all of these teams are going over and beyond to make sure their quarterbacks are in a good situation, and I don't see that from you guys. So those are the two things.
I don't know if he should be disgruntled. I think he should be gruntled. He should be the opposite of disgruntled. He should be happy right now. What does gruntled mean? He should be happy right now, Marcus. Man. He's got a squad. He has a chance to win a Super Bowl. It seems like he'll have a chance year in and year out as long as he's on the Packers. As I was saying right before you got on, the Packers could use an offensive lineman. They have their draft picks. They need an offensive lineman. They could use a little help in the secondary, a corner. Maybe their top pick should go to a corner, right? And maybe a wide out for some depth, maybe a linebacker, also every team that has slight improvements. They got everything, man. And Rodgers now knows the system, and he's balling like this for this coach. I'm just saying, I get the Packers being like, yeah, we want you to restructure, and Rodgers being like, time out. Now, but you don't want to give me what I want because now it's harder to trade me down the line? I get Rodgers saying that. But if the Packers were to back up the Brinks truck, if I were Rodgers, I would sign. What would you do? Would you sign, yes or no?
No, I wouldn't sign because I think it's beyond the money. I think it's the relationship. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers feels like the Packers have mismanaged his opportunity at a Super Bowl or mismanaged getting him what he feels like is enough or drafted Jordan Love to signal that, hey, time is winding down, and he just can't get over that. And the latter one that I talked about with drafting the quarterback, if he can't get over it, that's Aaron Rodgers' problem. I don't have any sympathy for that. But if he's felt like he's needed more from an offensive standpoint and they haven't been willing to address whatever, if he's expressed – I don't know if he's expressed that, Max. But what I'm saying is,
how much more do they need? They got a lot of dudes on that. They got a lot of offensive firepower.
Max, I'm with you. Me and you agree on that. Me and you agree on the fact that a team going to the NFC Championship two out of the last 3 years, everything should be fine from a football standpoint.
Let's move on. Hold on. I have more to ask you. I want to get through this. I got more to ask you. I see where you're coming from on Rodgers. Let's just agree that I'm right and move along. Now, listen, will your boy Jerry Jones, I'm talking to Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Will your boy Jerry Jones, you and Jerry are very tight, right, Marcus? Will your boy Jerry Jones move up to draft Kyle Pitts?
No, he doesn't. He shouldn't, and I don't want him to. If Kyle Pitts is there at 10, take it.
Right.
Everybody, if he's there at 10, take it, which he won't be. But to move up to draft him, no, because you're not addressing the things you need to address, right? Like, I understand the generational talent that Kyle Pitts is and everybody, and I'm agreeing. I think he's going to be a dominant football player in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that he's the missing piece for Dallas to be a better team. They'll be a better offense, but I don't know if they'll be a better team if they get Kyle Pitts.
I would say I'm with you, Marcus. I'm with you because in the sense that don't draft for need. Draft the best available player. So if Pitts is there, I think you probably have to take him, right? But
right,
if, but
right.
you don't move up to take a player that, even if he's the most talented, that you don't need. What you need is a defense. What you need is an offensive lineman. You know, that's what led to the Cowboys offense in the first place. I want to ask you another thing about the draft, because I had Dominique Foxworth on last week, and I asked him a question he refused to answer. You know, I have a theory, Marcus. I've noticed a trend, a correlation, that this doesn't – obviously, what I'm – let me preface it by this. White quarterbacks sometimes fall in the draft. I realize that. But compared to each other, what I noticed a trend in recent years is white quarterbacks tend to rise in the draft. Black quarterbacks tend to fall in the draft. Sometimes the evaluators are right. Sometimes they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, I thought Dwayne Haskins, I wanted the Giants to take him. Daniel Jones looks like he's better than Dwayne Haskins, right? He's the more mobile guy. He's more talent. Okay, fine. Daniel Jones, the white guy who moved up. Dwayne Haskins, African-American quarterback, moves down. And they were right. But a lot of times they're wrong. Well, look at Chicago. Trubisky moves up. And whether or not Mahomes moves down, Deshaun Watson moved down, right? Like, we see that. Now, nevertheless, when I look at this draft, I heard a lot of people talking about Zach Wilson. And I was like, oh, Justin Fields, like, is this happening? But then when I watched some Zach Wilson recently, like, I dug in more and watched him more. Everyone's talking about him.
Yeah.
I get it. I agree, in fact. I think it's so I wanted to come up with my list of the top five quarterbacks, I think, in this draft. I want to hear yours. Foxy refused to give me his. My top five are, in order, number one, Trevor Lawrence. Number two, Zach Wilson. Number three, Justin Fields. Number four, Trey Lance. Number five, Mac Jones. What's your top five?
I got Trevor Lawrence one, Justin Fields two, mm-hmm. Zach Wilson three, Mac Jones four, Trey Lance five.
Jones four, Trey Lance five. I could understand that. I think that's a reasonable list. Like, we're all guessing, right? Maybe your guess is better than mine, but we're all guessing. But Trey Lance, to me, has maybe the lowest floor, but also the highest ceiling. Maybe he has the highest ceiling from what I've seen.
To me, Mac, that's the thing, bro. Like, I'm with you on that. I think Mac Jones is a solid starter in the NFL. Okay, that's why I'm up in arms about him going third.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't say a solid starter going third overall. That's not something we associate with that pick in the NFL draft. When it comes to Trey Lance, you just want to see more. Like, you want to see if – and look, based on everything that's been talked about, pro-style system in North Dakota, work ethic crazy, guys follow him, he's a consummate leader – all of that, right? But I can't just dismiss what I saw Mac Jones do well, right? And it may be because I saw Mac Jones more on television, more making plays, more than Trey Lance. Now, if I got both of them dudes standing side by side and I say which one ceiling can be higher, I'm going to choose Trey Lance. Trend of the NFL, arm strength, the talent, all of the things that's been said about him. But to me, it gets interesting up top, bro, because I don't know when Justin Fields fell off for Zach Wilson to supersede him.
Let me tell you what I saw, because I didn't get it either at first. I just watching Zach Wilson, he looks like he has more arm talent to me. That's what it is. I think Zach Wilson has, he looks like he has, like, he can make those off-platform throws with such precision down the field and lead receivers as he's doing it, you know? And when you combine that with the mobility and the whole thing, I just like him. If I were the Jets, I'd be psyched that someone else takes Trevor Lawrence. That way I get Zach Wilson. I don't have to make that choice.
Right. How do you factor in, and I'm just asking because I don't, I mean, the list is, picking apart the small. How do you equate for Zach Wilson and the competition he plays?
I can't. I honestly, I'm just going by eyeball test. You're right. If you want to factor in competition, maybe Justin Fields, who, by the way, when he came out of high school with Trevor Lawrence, those two were like the most ballyhooed high school phenoms, right? And so maybe Justin Fields should be, when you adjust for competition ahead of Zach Wilson. I'm just going, you know, look, people who don't watch a lot of boxing can see a fighter in against a lower level guy. He knocks him out. It was like, oh my God, he's so good. And if you watch more fights, you're right. So maybe I'm doing that. I'm just going based on the eyeball test. Like, the dude to me, Zach Wilson, has eye popping talent. Hey, Marcus, they're telling me I'm late on the segment as usual. I'm heavy, as they say in the business. Yeah. So, unfortunately, Raj and Brendan don't have enough respect for you to keep you around an extra few minutes. I was arguing that we should, but I've been outvoted. The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen. Swagoo, always love it when you come on, brother.
Absolutely, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles. With insurance experience to keep your company moving forward, more at progressivecommercial.com. Bill Belichick about to be on the hot seat, no doubt, next. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good, or maybe not that good, but pretty damn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, no doubt, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's National Grilled Cheese Day, apparently. More on that in a few. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Get to your calls right after, no doubt. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I can't do the bread. I can't do the cheese, because the whole thing for me, and it's the greatest food in the world. Grilled cheese. Do you know how much I like grilled cheese? Getting older, it's like a curse. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, we'll get to that grilled cheese stuff in a second here. That was a teaser. I just want you to tease it there. But hey, it's Ed O'Neill's birthday today. He turned 75. Hmm. So, Max, I don't know if you remember, you know, Al Bundy.
Of course.
I'm forgetting the show's name. Love and Marriage. What's the show called
again? Married with Children.
Yes, Married with Children.
Great job.
So, I forgot.
Great segment, Raj.
Al Bundy.
What's the question, Raj?
I'm getting to it. Al Bundy is a top five TV dad. What'd you say, Max?
Wait, you don't even remember the name of the show and he's a top five TV dad? All right, let me think about this. I got to think about this. I tend to say nah, son, not because he wasn't funny and everything, but there have been so many TV dads, you know? Fred Sanford, that's right. He counts as a TV dad. I mean, so does George Jefferson. So does Archie Bunker. So do all the, you know, the the father in good times, who no one ever remembers, James, right?
Yeah. Yes. Still acting, by the way.
Yeah. Let me see. Nah, I got to say nah, son. I got to say we've come up with five TV dads, although I think I just named four. Cliff Huxtable doesn't work anymore, I guess, in retrospect. Go ahead.
No, probably not. All right, so we'll say maybe he's in top 10. Hey, if the Patriots have another losing season, Bill Belichick will be on the hot seat.
Nah, son. Ah. I'm going to say his seat will get hot if it's a year after that. And the reason I say that is this. We don't know what Cam has left, really. I suspect, and Belichick suspects, that he has something in there. But we don't know because of the circumstances, COVID, a new team and everything. I will say, though, like, the Patriots got to draft a quarterback pretty soon that's going to take over. And I don't think you're always going to find the guy you really want later in the draft. You're going to have to move up maybe and take one of the blue chip guys. Like, that wasn't Garoppolo. And Garoppolo turned out to be good. He took a team or was in a Super Bowl, one pass away from winning it. But maybe you want a little bit more than Garoppolo even. So, I'm going to still say nah, son. It'll take another year.
All right. Hey, in our guy Spears' hometown, Louisiana, a woman was arrested after allegedly refusing to return $1.2 million mistakenly deposited into her account. Now, let's say Max wasn't rich. Max would return that money.
Nah, son. Let me tell you something. How do they even arrest her? Why would you, like, if someone deposits money in her account, why does she need to, it's deposited it there. It's hers now. Like, what are they talking about? Oh, sorry, it was an accident? Well, I'm sorry for your, you know, like, I'm sorry it was an accident. It's in my account. What, are you going to rob me? Yeah, I mean, now listen, if it's like a mom and, like, who mistakenly deposited the money, right? Is this someone's life savings that they put in her account and something got messed up? Or, like, how did that happen? I'd like to know more details.
All right, well, we'll lead into it later. And hey, this is a big debate during the break here between Brendan and I, but it's National Grilled Cheese Day, Max. You'll still eat a grilled cheese sandwich.
No doubt, but this is how I do it. So the calories don't count, right? Like I'm like watching my weight or something. Look, this is how I do it. My girls will eat grilled cheese, right? They'll order grilled cheese, I'll make them a grilled cheese. There are three of them. Maybe each of them eats a half, three quarters of it. They leave a little bit. You can piece it all together and make at least three quarters of a grilled cheese sandwich. I eat that. I don't like to waste food, Raj. Oh, my God. Grilled cheese is so good. There's very few things better than grilled cheese.
What is good about it? It's gooey and it's like, who delicious? Eats grilled cheese after they're 12 years old?
You don't like grilled cheese? Brendan, where are you on this grilled cheese thing?
I would have a grilled cheese right now if I could. Great.
The only reason I don't have it is because of the cheese fats and the lactose and the carbohydrates. I'm trying to, you know, watch my weight. That's
what,
the reason
I follow it up with a Twinkie. Who still eats this?
I mean, if I could eat them, yeah. Raj is now trying to name the most delicious things and act as though people don't want to eat those. I mean, really? If it wasn't bad for you, you would eat this delicious thing? Really? Yeah, I would. If it wasn't bad for me, I would. Preston in Pennsylvania, what you got?
Hey, Max, how are you?
I'm doing well, Preston. What's going on?
Hey, Aaron Rodgers needs to get the hell out of Green Bay and go somewhere where he can be trusted to take the ball into the end zone in a big game like the NFC Championship game.
Oh, I hear
LaFleur,
that. I hear that.
LaFleur screwed up, took the ball out of his hands, and now Aaron's pissed, and now he wants to see what they're going to do.
I hear that. You know, like, you not only took the ball out of Rodgers' hands, you put it in Brady's hands. You took the ball out of the best player in the game's hands to put it in the greatest player of all time's hands to beat you. Only needed a couple first downs. I agree with that. You know, on the other hand, LaFleur and Rodgers together won 26 games in two seasons in the regular season alone, advanced to the NFC Championship game, and had a chance to win it. So LaFleur blundered. There's no two ways about it. He blundered. Rodgers sort of blundered right before LaFleur. You think LaFleur doesn't go for it if they're, you know, on the two-yard line? They're third and two, fourth and two, fourth and one. I think he probably goes for it. So I'm not defending LaFleur, but they had a chance to win, and Rodgers didn't make the most of it either. Vander Holyfield's returning to the ring. You're going to get my thoughts on that last take. That's coming next. I suppose you will get my thoughts on that last. It's the end of the show coming up. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Going to get to your calls after last take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? You hear about my love for grilled cheese, my analysis of, or at least my thoughts on Kyrie Irving, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, the Lakers and their win against Brooklyn. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So Evander Holyfield, who's 58 years old, is going to return to the ring in June. He's going to fight Kevin McBride. That's the last guy Mike Tyson fought professionally. I ran into Kevin McBride in Vegas a year and a half ago. Nice guy. They're going to fight in an exhibition on June 5th on the Teofimo Lopez-George Kambosos undercard. That Lopez-Kambosos fight was supposed to be on ESPN, but Top Rank, the promoter, could not work out a deal with Teofimo Lopez, and so it wound up on Triller, which did the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight. And Holyfield was hoping to fight Mike Tyson for like $25 million each. They couldn't get that together. Tyson wants to do it only on, you know, his promotional outfit and network or you know, service. At any rate, this is a trend we're now seeing, not just in boxing, but, you know, boxing's a very simple thing for people to understand on a basic level, right? On any level you can contest it, which is why YouTube performers, some of whom take it very seriously, but others just have beef with another guy. Okay, well, fight. That's easy to understand, right? And fighters who've built up names years ago, especially as boxing has become increasingly marginalized, still have some box office power. You know, they can still make money to fight. And nowadays, they can kind of go on a seniors tour. They don't have to fight a guy 20 years younger than them. They can fight a guy from their era and call it an exhibition, but they get paid for it. Now, here's the thing. When people are like, well, why do fighters keep fighting? It's dangerous, not good for them, brain damage and everything else. Imagine this. Imagine if I said, you have to fight the best heavyweight in the world, Tyson Fury, for, you get $1 million. You think to yourself, all right, so I get knocked out, I get $1 million, right? Knock me out in the first round, I get $1 million. Most people would do that, I think. That's not what's being asked of these fighters. What's being asked of fighters, it's not like you, who never boxed ever, right? These are guys who were the best ever at what they did. Like, the likelihood is very few people who ever live will ever be as good at anything as Holyfield was at boxing, right? So you take a guy like that, or even like a welterweight like Oscar De La Hoya, you're not asking him to fight someone twice his size where he doesn't know what he's doing and the other person does for $1 million. You're saying fight someone your size, right? And in this case, on a seniors tour, it's like, and who's just as old as you, and you once knew what you were doing in that profession like more than anyone, and it's not $1 million. Like, Tyson Holyfield would be $25 million. Of course they're going to fight. Do I like Holyfield and McBride? I don't. I'm happy if they're making money together. I don't love this. Nevertheless, this is a trend we're going to continue to see, especially with the proliferation of media outlets, where anyone with social media can kind of, you know, generate publicity, if not, you know, dollars, by staging a fight. Esteban in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max?
What's going on?
I just want to say my top five is I got Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and
we're ranking. Okay. Esteban, this is how you do it. You're saying, what you're going, you're referring to something we did like an hour ago. You're saying, I'm going to rate the top five quarterbacks in this draft. You're saying, number one is Fields, number two is Lawrence. Who's three?
I got Trey Lance, and then Zach Wilson.
All right.
And then
Mac Jones. All right. Okay. I mean, like, people are all over the place with it. We're all just guessing. I think the consensus is Lawrence and then Zach Wilson. I'll say after that, I am surprised how Mac Jones is ahead of Justin Fields. I understand Trey Lance is considered more of a project, but maybe he has the very most upside of anyone in the draft. I would say it's one Lawrence, two Wilson, three Fields, four Lance, five Mac Jones. Carlos in California.
Hey, Max, big fan. I wanted to ask you about the Clippers. I'm not sure if you heard Charles Barkley's comments last week about, you know, not very kind comments, but I wanted to get your take on their outlook this season. If you see any difference with Ty Lue this year, or just wanted to get your opinion on their outlook and where they end up this season.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the Clippers have a really good chance to go all the way this year, particularly because they got Rondo. You know, and Rondo is a big-time playoff performer and can command the respect of the team. And now you don't have to run your offense through a guy who's not really a point forward in Kawhi. Meantime, Paul George has been excellent recently. If he can just keep that up in the playoffs, they're shooting the lights out, the Clippers. In fact, right now, I think they just passed, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, they just passed the Warriors, and I think it was 16, as in terms of all the high, I want to get this right, the high volume three-point teams ever, they shoot at the best percentage. Like Kennard is close to 50%. Morris is at like 46, 47%. Everyone shoots the three. They can play defense. They have two superstars on the team. They have excellent role players. They got better at the trade deadline. Yeah, the Clippers are for real. I still like the Lakers barely, but boy, AD better come back 100%. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up. Be back tomorrow. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.